Blog Talk Radio.
This is Don Allen Rico, and taking Dr. Kenneth Ream's place today, we have Dr. Ken Sharp, a podiatrist and an avid cycler. So welcome to our 30-minute discussion on Foot Expert Online, discussing topics that can keep your feet healthy and affect your overall health. Our topic this afternoon is cycling and your foot health. 646-787-1532 is the call-in number if you have any questions, and we have Dr. Sharp here with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Don. Pleasure being here. I am good.
Well,
I am good. Thank you.
Good. It's a pleasure to have you. So, as you know, of course, we do several topics that have to deal with the feet. And Dr. Ream has asked that you step in and be simply because you're a cycler as well as a podiatrist. And so he wanted to, cover some of the foot health that deals with cycling. So in just a little bit of my preparation for the show, I looked up a couple things about cycling and foot health. So cycling, you've got different type of foot pains and numb toes and tingling sensations. You know, sometimes that can be of great concern to a cyclist. And I'm sure there's many causes to the problems, the different, you know, the different tissues being affected by, you know, cyclists, losing their feeling of, you know, the numbness and stuff. But tell us a little bit about what perhaps are the major concerns of a cyclist, and as a podiatrist, what kind of information you can give us.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for inviting me here, and I'm glad I could be of a little help to help with Dr. Ream in his absence this morning. Ironically, I just came back about a half an hour ago from taking a bike ride myself. I like to do a lot of cycling. And one of the reasons I got into podiatry many, many years ago was that I had my share of foot problems. I ended up going to the various different doctors and ended up in different podiatrist's office and found that they were the specialists to go to take care of my foot problems. And I've been playing and doing sports my entire life. So I am indebted to my past podiatry care. And I've continued that in my specialty of podiatry and doing primarily sports injuries in a private practice until recently, where now I'm in a clinic. But I saw a variety of different foot problems. And in taking care of athletes, I saw a lot of running injuries and cycling injuries and cycling problems, which is the topic that we're talking about. Don, you mentioned that numbness in the foot is part of what you did some research on. And I would have to say that of all the problems that I see as a podiatrist in cycling problems, the numbness and the pain in the forefoot would probably be the number one factor. It's very, very annoying and it's very debilitating in that if you want to be on a 2 or 3 hour bike ride, which is fairly common for a cyclist, after about 20 or 30 minutes, the foot becomes numb, which is annoying, but then the numbness turns into pain, and it actually prevents the cyclist from going on without doing something. So it has to either be a shortened bike ride or you take your shoes off and massage your foot. But it gets very, very annoying, and that's probably one of the more common things that we see. And it's also one of the more, unfortunately, difficult problems to treat in a cyclist because the nature of a cycling shoe is that it's a very tight forefoot area. almost like a high heel shoe would be for a lady without the heels. And that's done purposely for efficiency being on a cycle, but unfortunately it squeezes the foot in a very, very incapacitating manner. So the cycling and the shoes don't necessarily cause the problem, but it makes what you do have terribly more symptomatic. So it makes a problem that you can live with not cycling very incapacitating when you are cycling. And the two common things, or three common things, that are causing it is either a neuroma, which I'll explain in a minute, or a metatarsalgia, or a capsulitis. And the last one, a capsulitis, basically means an irritation and an inflammation around the joint where the ball of the foot comes together with the toes, the metatarsals and the phalangeos. And that area is very very prone to having an irritation and an inflammation called a capsulitis. A metatarsalgia is a generalized irritation or inflammation on the entire ball of the foot. Usually it can be under one specific area of the ball of the foot, but it generally is the entire forefoot ball of the foot area caused by the bone and the joint, the tendon, the nerve becoming irritated. It's normally caused by a forefoot imbalance, meaning that the back of the foot and the front of the foot are a little out of alignment, almost like a car would be out of alignment and the tires wear out. Well, the forefoot gets out of balance and it causes symptoms and irritation and inflammation and pain. And the more common one, the neuroma, is fairly common in all kinds of pathology for people in general, but it is very, very aggravating in a cyclist because the shoe irritates it. Normally, you'd say, well, wear a little bit of a wider shoe or put a little pad in the shoe, but sometimes that's very difficult to do in a cycling type of a shoe, and that's kind of the dilemma that we have. But essentially, a neuroma, Don, is a irritation on the nerve as it comes down in between the metatarsals. The metatarsals comprise the ball of the foot. The nerve comes down, and the nerve is supposed to be there, but the nerve is supposed to sit in between each of the metatarsal heads. And when you have a neuroma, that nerve gets irritated, so it's bigger than we want it to be, but it has no place to go, so it causes that throbbing, very annoying symptom of the numbness and then the pain. And normally that is aggravated by a forefoot imbalance, but it's also aggravated when you squeeze the foot. And the example I would give you is that if you have a ring on your hand and somebody shakes your hand and they squeeze your hand where the ring is, it makes it hurt more. So the ring isn't causing the pain. The ring is just aggravating the squeezing of your hand. Well, think of that ring as the nerve in your foot that's a little bit too big. So either you have to get rid of the ring or get rid of the inflammation, or you have to get rid of the pressure. So one way of getting rid of the pressure is you wear a wider shoe. So, makes sense so far?
So far. So, you know, I mean, I'm as I'm following you on this, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to I'm going to have to like cycling if I have to put up with a lot of foot pain. But do you think that it, you know, when, like, for instance, a poor shoe fit, is that something that the individual, because they go and buy shoes without any help in choosing them, or is that something maybe the person who sold the shoe was just trying to get them into a shoe, or?
Yeah, I understand your question. I think normally if you buy regular shoes, you want to look good, you want to go to a wedding, you want to go to your high school reunion, you want to get a stylish shoe, that would be something that maybe you shouldn't have gotten, or the salesperson convinces you that it looks good, it matches your outfit. But in a cycling shoe, I don't really think they're trying to convince you to get the wrong shoe. The problem is most of the people you buy the shoes from, especially if you do it online, which is what a lot of people are doing now, it's a little bit more cost efficient to do it online. So you get a name brand shoe, and if you normally wear, let's say, a size 10, you buy a size 10 cycling shoe in whatever brand you're getting, even if you try it on in the store, it usually fits good. The problem is when you're wearing it for several hours, it starts to cause an irritation. So basically, it's not the salesperson's fault. It's not your fault. It's the mechanics of your foot fault. And that needs to be dealt with sometimes after the fact, or if you know you have some problems, then it would make sense to perhaps buy a different style of a shoe. There are different shoes out there that are geared for a wider foot. Most shoe styles come in a medium or a large, but some of them come in actual widths, and some of them have extra volume. It's called an EV shoe for extra volume. And certain shoe manufacturers, Shimano, Gyro, these are just different brands of shoes that come in this extra wide, especially the forefoot area. And they're the perfect fit for someone who has this irritation at the ball of the foot.
Okay. Now, another thing that came up that I want to bring in here is last week we were talking with Ernie Parrish of Natural Foot Orthotics. He's the .com, I guess, and so he talked about orthotics and, you know, putting orthotics in. One of the things that, as I was researching this, that was something that somebody said, put orthotics in your shoes. Yet, if it's a shoe that's already tight, that's going to be something that's going to make it even tighter. Doesn't that make – I mean, that would seem to make sense.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's it's ironic. It's like a catch-22. You need to add some bulk to your shoe to balance a foot that's out of balance. But by adding more bulk, you're making a painful situation almost worse. So it's like you're going six steps forward and five and a half back. So it is a dilemma. What I would probably encourage people to do is if they do need some sort of an orthotic, which a lot of times they do, which is why they have the forefoot problems because of this imbalance. And imbalance is a very non-medical term, but I think it makes the point of what we're referring to. So just out of balance, out of alignment. And what happens is there is sometimes a built-in support in the shoe. So for sure, that needs to come out. That'll add a little bit of extra room to compensate for what you're putting back in. Normally, even if you do that, and some shoes, by the way, don't have a removable insole, so what you need to do is to accommodate that by getting a extra wider shoe or an extra long shoe. So if you normally wear a 10C, you need to perhaps get a 10.5 cycling shoe and the next width up. That normally is the easiest thing to do. It still sometimes creates a tight fit, but normally a little extra half a size on the width and the length should accommodate for that. And you mentioned orthotics. Okay. Orthotics come in two flavors. The easiest, simplest one, the least expensive one, and the easiest to get is an over-the-counter orthotic. And over-the-counter just means that you go to the store, usually a sporting goods store will have it. They come in a softer material or a harder material. They range anywhere from $20 or $30 up to maybe $100 or $150. And it's kind of a size medium or a size 8 men's or a size 7 ladies. And they do a fairly good job of cushioning the foot, of supporting the foot, especially if you're a walker or a runner. Most cyclists who do need an orthotic might need to bypass that and go to a custom orthotic, which is a little bit more involved because you have to go to someone who makes them, whether it's a podiatrist or an orthotist. And normally a cast is made of the foot, both feet, and they're made to order to accommodate for any problems in balance, bunions, hammer toes that the person has. They take up sometimes less room than an over-the-counter one because they can be made thinner with a harder material that won't give. And then the bells and whistles can be put on it with different padding to accommodate for example, an aroma. A certain pad will be put on in a strategic place to accommodate the problem and to keep the pressure off of it. The negative of the orthotic that's customized is that you have to go to somebody to do it. It increases the time. It increases the cost. And you want to make sure you need it before you spend the extra dollars to do it. But normally, if the over-the-counter one hasn't worked or it's not fitting well into the shoe, then a custom orthotic would be the way to go, and I would agree with your previous guest that that is a very, very efficient way of treating a lot of these symptoms and problems.
Okay. Now, see, I guess that brings up in my mind another question in the fact that if a cycler is, you know, thinking, okay, I got a problem with the shoes, you brought up something that you said that their foot's in out of balance anyway, or it's imbalanced foot anyway. That seems to me that when they're not cycling, they should be wearing an orthotic and a shoe at least to try to bring that foot back into balance, and then work on the shoe. You know, I mean, it's not going to be exactly, you know, like you say, an exact shoe that they would wear to church or to a wedding or whatever for running as they would use for cycling. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Normally, for especially for a man who has more of a lesser number of stylish type of shoes, a loafer, a Oxford, a pair of sneakers, a running shoe, one orthotic, whether it's a custom orthotic or an over-the-counter one, would probably work, and you just change it from shoe to shoe. And, of course, if you're not going to be doing much activity, you're going to be sitting for 3 hours, you don't really need the orthotic because it only works when you're putting, you know, pressure on it. But for most people, a person who's on his feet 8 hours doing whatever the occupation is, you could do that, use that orthotic in your regular shoes, and then change that to a pair of sneakers when you're going to go up to the gym or take a run. The problem with that with cycling is that because cycling shoes, as we talked about, are very, very narrow, it very often requires a thinner type of an orthotic, which would work well in a cycling shoe, but not really give enough correction or support for a non-cycling shoe. So a lot of times, unfortunately, a second pair of orthotics are needed. So for non-cycling, one orthotic might work okay, especially to try to keep costs down. But if you're a cycler with having different problems, you probably have those same problems in regular activities as well. So a second pair of orthotics would work for that particular person. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. No, that does. That makes a lot of sense. So really, in your cycling shoes as well as your orthotics need to be for that specific purpose.
Yes.
Another question that kind of came up in looking at this is poor cleat position. Okay, now, see, I'm the bicycle rider that I would put on a pair of tennis shoes and I wouldn't worry about cleats or anything else like that. But
right.
We're talking someone who's not a professional cyclist. So as a professional cyclist, what difference or what does that mean as far as a cleat position to causing foot pain? Does that make sense?
Right, right. Yeah, the positioning of the cleat does make a difference. And for those that may or may not understand what we're referring to, is it's where when you buy a bicycle, there is a platform that the shoe goes on to. And the fancier the bike, the more you have to customize it to the bike and to the shoe and to your own particular cycling style. But the kind of biking shoes that most people use have a clip on it, similar to when you go skiing and you clip into your boot. So you go and you clip the foot, I'm sorry, you clip the shoe into the cleat that is attached to the bike. The other type is you just put your foot like a pair of sneakers or any shoe, and you just ride a bike on a pedal. Right? That's what you did when you were a kid and you had your old Schwinn bike. You didn't have fancy shoes.
Exactly.
You just used your regular Converse sneakers. But the problem with that is that when you're going up a hill, you have no way of using your upper leg muscles, which you need, and that works better when your foot is in a position where the foot doesn't move. So you could either have nothing, or you could put your foot in what's called a basket, which is a little, it's referred to as a basket because it looks like a basket, and your shoe goes into that. The problem with that is that it's harder to get your foot out in a hurry, and that's a very common cause of bike injuries where you can't get your foot out. So the basket type is usually not recommended for people who do a reasonable amount of cycling. So you have the cycling shoes that I have that just clips in like a ski boot, and you just twist your foot like a quarter of an inch, and it comes out. It's very, very simple. It's very, very safe, very effective, and it gives you good efficiency, especially when you're climbing a hill and you want to rotate your leg. Your foot doesn't come out of the shoe doesn't come out of the pedal, so you have a lot more power to do that. But where your foot is positioned on the pedal is what you're referring to, and moving it a quarter of an inch, a half an inch, makes a tremendous difference if you have forefoot pain. So what most people do, and I would encourage, is you get a bike fitting at wherever you bought the bike from. And if you buy a bike online, you go to a bicycle store. I'm sorry, Don?
Okay. No, I see.
And for, I don't know, $50, $100, depending on how sophisticated the fitting is, they will not only position your foot, but they'll position your handlebars and your seat, because everything is interrelated, so you get a more efficient ride and a more comfortable ride. But specifically for what you're referring to is the positioning of the cleat on your bike shoe and on the pedal where it's positioned makes a very, very big difference in general, especially if you're having symptoms. So yes to your question, you need to have a expert put the foot where it's supposed to be in the shoe on the bike foot, on the bike pedal. Very good point.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I mean, I think of when you're trying to climb stairs, and if you're only trying to climb stairs using the toes of your feet, man, that would get hurt. That would hurt after a while, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It would. Yeah. You know, I'm in treating many, many patients, but also in being an athlete myself. I did a lot of running and I did a lot of biking, and someone would probably think, well, isn't running a lot harder on your foot because you're coming down step after step, especially if you're training for long distances? And yes, it is to a point, but it's amazing how much damage the feet get and feel cycling, because even though you're not putting your weight on it, every rotation of the chain, every rotation of your foot motion is putting extreme pressure on your foot, especially the front portion, the forefoot portion of your foot, which is why these neuromas and metatarsal problems are tremendously exaggerated and painful with cycling. And also, you're cycling usually for several hours. You're running for sometimes 30 minutes. So you're putting a lot more time in that constricted area, in a constricted position. So, and I should mention, Don, from a treatment point of view, that sometimes icing the foot when you have that symptom or when you get home will reduce some of the inflammation. Before the bike ride, I would probably encourage an anti-inflammatory medication, the ibuprofen, the Aleve, or the over-the-counter ones. You can get prescription ones, but these over-the-counter ones do work well to help reduce inflammation. If you know you're going to get inflammation and you know you're going to hurt, you might take a little bit of medication, assuming there's no problems with your stomach or your kidneys, and these over-the-counter ones work pretty well. Sometimes you need the stronger ones, and sometimes you need some further treatment like injection therapy. And I should mention that for people who are having symptoms and they've tried the self-care and they've tried the over-the-counter orthotics and they've tried the ice and changing shoe styles, that sometimes professional treatment might be necessary to include some injections. Surgery is not usually necessary on these forefoot problems, but injection therapy seems to work pretty well to reduce inflammation, especially in a shorter time frame where you hurt today, you have an injection, and you feel better for hopefully several months, if not several weeks. And there are newer injections that are out that will actually reduce the size of that nerve, not a cortisone injection. It reduces the size of the nerve, getting it down to a more normal size, or actually getting rid of the scar tissue around that nerve completely. It works very, very well. So these are just different options that people need to consider. Okay?
All right. I know that Dr. Rehm has put together, formulated a foot cream, and this is for just normal, everyday foot care. We talk about that all the time, and the fact that you know, he says the foot is part of the body. He will always stress that people will ignore their feet so much of the time. But he stresses the fact that just like, you know, brushing your teeth, and your teeth are in a certain environment, so are your feet. And so he says, you know, it's important that you do take care of your feet on a consistent basis. And I'm sure that's the same for, you know, in any athlete like that, is the fact that they should be taking care of their feet on a consistent basis daily, if not, shouldn't wait once a week or something like that, or when you take a bath.
Yes. No, I agree with Dr. Reem 100%. He has excellent ideas. He has excellent protocol. He has excellent products to use. And his main emphasis is on educating the patient, the cyclist, the runner, the diabetic patient, whoever the audience is, to consistently pay attention and prevent as many problems as can be prevented. And even with an athlete, even little things like massaging some cream in the foot, whether it's before or after the event at night, just to lubricate, the massage acts to reduce inflammation and increase circulation. It'll help prevent things like ingrown toenails and just blisters and friction. That when those little things happen, you can't do the activity. So it's easier to prevent it than to treat it. Everything is treatable, but it's so much easier, simpler, safer to prevent it. So I would agree 100% with a protocol of inspecting your feet and paying attention to your feet like you do to the rest of your body, especially as an athlete.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of his mottos is attention to prevention, and can't get enough of it.
I agree.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left. We've got about 3 minutes left. Any tips or, you know, something that as a cyclist yourself, that someone that's a cyclist, that you could give them a tip that would be great for them to keep from having foot pain?
Well, probably general information is to do some stretching foot-wise and leg-wise, both before and after the activity. Sometimes people do it before, but after is probably equal important, if not more important. Number two is little things like checking your nails for ingrown toenails, because when that shoe pinches against the forefoot, it exacerbates a little condition like an ingrown toenail to get where it gets infected. So basically just keep an eye on that. Keep the nails short, keep them straight, keep some cream on the foot if there's any irritation, any blisters, any calluses, because that is only going to get worse being constricted in the shoe for several hours. And basically, at the first sign of seeing anything, get it checked. And if that numbness, especially on a cyclist now we're referring to, is present, immediately check the size of the shoe to get a wider shoe, perhaps get an over-the-counter insert. If that doesn't work, get a hold of a podiatrist, especially one who does a lot of sports medicine, and get a custom insert, and if that isn't enough, a little follow-up with some medication usually takes care of everything. Most of these problems are treated if it's caught early in the stage of progression. That's the key.
Awesome. Very, very good. Well, you know, so, I sincerely thank you for being with us today, and I just am so excited about this program. Because of the fact that it is a lot about prevention, it's a lot about bringing things to the awareness of each individual, and in this case, those who are doing cycling. So,
well, Don,
thanks for being with us
I appreciate you being asking me to fill in for Dr. Reem, and you're doing a great service to the public, and keep up the good work on your podcast for foot prevention. Much appreciated.
All right. You bet. Hey, thanks. And thank you for listening to us or being on the recorded call. Every Monday at 1 o'clock Pacific, you can join and ask questions. This is Don Alan Rico and Dr. Ken Sharp on the Foot Expert Online. Remember to keep your feet healthy. Bye for now. Bigfoot Expert Online is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Kenneth Bream, all rights reserved.